The Peer Support Group Project. I'll say that again. The Peer Support Group Project, or PSGP. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few moments as Siren Radio is concerned. And we've got two fabulous folk to actually discuss that with us. First of all, one of the key programme leaders from, of course, the business school. That's the wonderful Erkan Demirbaş. Have we got the pronunciation correct there,
Erkan?
Correct. Good. Correct. Excellent. And also online via the magic of June of Zoom, in fact, we have the wonderful Ryan Chapman. How are you, Ryan?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. So, Ryan, where exactly in the country are we connecting with your good self with?
I'm down in Suffolk.
Very good. So not too far away. I thought you might have said, oh, I'm in the Seychelles, basically. It's time to actually sort of relax and unwind. Ryan, talk us through initially what this whole project is about and what the Peer Support Group project actually entails.
So we've sort of set it up as like an extra session outside of what we've obviously got on this like timetable for the modules that include sort of mathematical elements that people are struggling with. So we started off with just sort of two or three of us alongside Erkan. We've sort of worked with the people that are sort of weaker or people that want to improve some of their skills, giving them sort of one-to-one sessions, answering questions, going through sort of like test, like mock tests of what we're going to have coming up in the modules. So it started off with the economics module and now this semester for our data analytics module as well.
Now, the university has in the past been very pleased with its MASH, I believe, which is run by the library for dealing with statistical analysis and so on. I mean, Erkan, are we familiar with the MASH thing? Not to be confused, obviously, with Military Army
yes.
Service Hospital.
Yes, we know already MASH, and we have already collaborated with MASH. So I visited Laura and her team and shared the idea with them. Mm-hmm. And including my colleague Abdul. Abdul is helping me with this project. And when we shared the idea, we told them that our members, volunteer students, need to be trained on leading and managing small classes. So they provide training for our member students. And so Ryan attended one of the sessions. Ryan?
Okay, Ryan, talk us through your experience with MASH.
Yeah, basically they sort of supported us in a way of how we could help like best. So what sort of questions might come up, what people might struggle with, sort of the approaches that we can take to sort of deal with different scenarios and stuff like that. So obviously some people are going to be more sort of confused, some are going to be sort of anxious and worried. And some people are just trying to literally get the last few marks that they're missing. So they've got quite a wide spectrum of people, different abilities, different sort of scenarios that we've got to go through. So that sort of prepared us quite well, improved my confidence going into the sessions and sort of made like the sessions the best that they could be realistically.
Yeah, I think for people who are confused about acronyms, it's Maths and Statistical Help, is that right?
What's yes.
What MASH stands for?
Yes.
Another one coming up, of course, which is the EUROS project, which is funded by the university. Ryan, you're a student researcher in this EUROS project. So what does EUROS stand for?
Undergraduate Research...
almost there, I think. Undergraduate Research Observation Scheme, possibly?
Opportunities, maybe.
Opportunities, yeah. Exactly. It's, you see so many acronyms, so little time to actually work through. Has this been something that has assisted you, Ryan, in terms of not being afraid of numbers, not being afraid of the kind of mathematics that obviously within the business environment, we do have to deal with spreadsheets and more?
Yeah, obviously it's something that's going to come up in an everyday sort of world, so I feel like it's something that we can sort of learn early on and then sort of develop skills as we go. So it's got to be something that's sort of embedded into every year of the like course realistically. Being able to do the project and stuff has been really helpful, sort of working out how we can sort of like improve this scheme and work with kind of obviously to improve it and sort of provide the best help that we can realistically.
Now, Erkan, it was one of your, I think, students on your course, actually, Anna Koshkinel, who effectively kind of acted as a bridge to connect us from that point of view. Anna's, of course, a postgraduate student. Is this useful for undergraduates and postgraduates, or are you specifically looking at the undergraduates scenario?
Thank you very much for this question. So for the last 3 years, I initiated this project 3 years ago, and it was just all year one students who were supporting year one. then I found out that we may also bring master students and PhD students too. And this year, I invited two PhD students, Rafael and Paul, and two master students, Avantika and Ikechukwu, and plus four final year students, two female students, two male students, including our year one students. Kindly let me name them. And one of them, Ryan, Rachel, and James.
Ryan, can you help out on this one? As always, they've got so many students, so little time to actually learn their names.
Yes.
It's 12 for that.
And one female student, and totally 12 students. Hmm. So sometimes I call it Erkan's 12.
Yeah, I can see that. Or a dozen, perhaps. You know, we always sort of say the Erkan dozen, which would be work from that point of view. Otherwise, we're getting into 12 apostles, and let's not go there, because that would be a whole different line entirely. Is Abdul part of the whole process as well? Because I noticed that Abdul was on the list together with Rachel and Ryan for possibly talking about it.
What Abdul does, Abdul encourages his students, final year students. Plus, this year, we slightly improved the project by bringing masters and PhD students. Abdul attends their sports sessions and observes them, because this is additionally and training PhD students on teaching. So Abdul observes them, write observation reports, and share them. And then when they run another session, and they consider Abdul's feedback and improve their training and teaching.
And Ryan, your own experience, is this something which you would thoroughly endorse? Or you think, why don't other universities do this? Or perhaps they do?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say this is something that can be sort of implemented elsewhere. I think it's a lot easier sometimes for students that are struggling to talk to sort of their peers and stuff like that, because it's like a less sort of daunting environment. And obviously it takes the pressure off of the lecturers as well, who might not have the time to sort of give the one-on-one support that some students might need. So being able to have these sort of sessions, especially lining up with the tests that we've got, going around sort of one-to-one or little small groups, does make it sort of a more sort of welcoming environment to ask questions and sort of be able to sort of communicate what we can do best and what where people's issues are and everything like that. So yeah, I think it definitely can be something that can be implemented. I haven't really heard of many opportunities in like other sort of unis that are doing it, but I think it definitely should be, especially for sort of maths and stuff. And it could be obviously for other different sort of skills as well.
Back in the day, when I was an undergraduate reading chemistry and biology at the University of London, I certainly recall there were teaching assistants who tended to be PhD students who actually help out with our experiments and so on, and likewise in the postgraduate routine. Is this something which, in essence, Erkan, you would see as being a natural development of that, that effectively you have that peer support system put into place, in this case obviously focusing on mathematics?
Yeah, so these students... in this module, it is called Data Analytics for Business. Year one students, and there are 400 students, 400. And some of them have not studied math post-16 education. Mm. And they really struggle. And recently, my HOD, Siobhan, shared program leaders' feedback.
HOD being head of department.
Head of department, Siobhan, shared a comment from program leaders, one of the program leaders. And she said that most of the time, that students from that program, they tend to criticize, and they tend to come with negative feedback. But this time with positive feedbacks, and they were focusing on extra sports.
So, Ryan, clearly this is working. If I was to ask you to do a quantifiable analysis of this whole thing, what score out of 10 would you give this whole a project?
Obviously, being fairly biased, I'd say it's probably close to an 8, 9, 10. The only way I sort of say that we could improve it would be sort of widening it to other departments and other parts of the uni as well, realistically. For what we've got at the moment, I'd say it's very high up there. Okay. That is very effective.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be hesitant to go for a full 10 because how can you improve? I mean, you know, bottom line is, you know, maybe sort of keep it around the age or nine. And are you finding mathematics fun? Has it been a way of actually sort of ensuring that you can see numbers as being useful and fun? As, of course, Carol Vorderman would say, we should all be engaged with numeracy as opposed to just literacy.
Yeah, I quite enjoy it personally, sort of being sort of quite nerdy anyway. I did maths at A level, so I think it's something that's come quite naturally to me and I've enjoyed, but I feel like there's obviously some people that don't, so I can sort of see both sides of that argument too.
And Erkan, have you ever had any fears with respect to mathematics, or is it a case of no, it was a cinch for me to actually differentiate from first principles in every sense of the word?
Okay, so I mean it is hard. And I remember from my degree, it is one of the reasons why I initiated this one. So in Turkey, in my home country, the degree lasts 4 years, but it was 5 years for me. Hmm. And I wouldn't be able to get my degree without having received support my peers. So I all the time think about the motto of the university, it is one community. So in this module, the peer support members like Ryan, Rachel, and they are supporting the students in this module they do not necessarily know. And they are supporting someone out of 400. Therefore, I mean, we are supporting our friends, a member of this module and member of university, and therefore, I believe that, and I also believe that, and these members also think the same thing, and we are strongly and significantly supporting one community spirit at the university.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Ryan, finally, from your own point of view, can people actually find out about this if they're not doing the degree program, or is it a case of no, you just got to actually type in peer support group project at the University of Lincoln, and you'll find it in there?
At the moment, we sort of haven't kept it very public. It's sort of something that's like...
So it's an exclusive to Siren. That's okay. We can keep it. We can keep it on that basis. That's fine. So watch this space, or indeed watch these mathematical symbols, which will be wonderful. I remember Einstein once said, mathematics is the language in which God has written the universe. And on that basis, maybe we need some more peer support. Erkan, program leader, of course, for this particular project, and indeed more peer support group project. Your official title, Erkan, is?
Senior lecturer.
Okay, at the Lincoln Business School.
Yeah, been at Business School.
Excellent. And, of course, Ryan Chapman, one of the key folk behind the peer support group project. Many thanks, and keep on keeping on.